brain. Survive the game. I'm a writer, man. I'm trying to change. Utilize my brain to survive the game. I'm a writer, man. I'm trying to change. Utilize my brain to survive the game. I'm a writer, man. I'm trying to change. Utilize my brain. Father God, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father, so much for this evening, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for this place, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for in your good time bringing your people, Lord God, together in whatever place, whatever circumstance, Lord, but always centered around your word and your truth and following Christ Jesus. So, Lord, just this night, Father, as we would just come together and spend some time, Lord God, in your word. Lord, we just pray, Father, that your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would just be with us in this time. Lord God, right now I just get out of the way. And Lord, I acknowledge openly that the only good thing in me is your Holy Spirit. And so to your spirit I do yield right now. Father, we bind every demonic spirit and every work of the enemy. And we break it and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, for the free flow of your spirit and what it is that you desire to do. Lord, let every word that comes forward be part of your plan and purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. So good to see you guys for sure. Yeah, we've had a little bit of a break, yes? Yeah, a little bit of a break. But, you know, I think we've been blessed by God to get another window for... You don't know how long at this point in time, at this stage in time, anyone in the world... You don't know how long you have to be there, to be doing whatever it is that you're doing, period. Because the way the world is becoming now is everything can change so dramatically, so fast. And so, you know, one thing that I've even noticed in them is just like when you get time with God's people, wherever you are, enjoy it, maximize it, because you may not get it again. You know, there are people that, you know, we've seen in life that we will probably never see them again in this life. You know, as much as we love and care about them. There's, you know, in the book of Acts, there's a place where they talk about that, where, you know, there's, Paul basically tells a certain church before he sets out to sea, he's like, I'm never going to see you again. And that's the thing that, like, breaks their heart and they get, you know, all sad about, because they're just like, you know, because of the fact that they know that they're not going to see him again in this life. And God gives us a heart and a connection with each other in the body of Christ. And it's, you know, it's like, well, because we kind of, you know, sometimes what happens is we take each other for granted because we get used to each other's company. And we're like, oh, that person's there. And oh, you know, well, if we need something, we can call them. And then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. You know, all of a sudden, that person, God takes them, they go home. Their podcast stops and is taken offline. They move and you don't have their new phone number and you can't find them, and then all of a sudden you find out something happened and you don't know. And the way that the world is right now, and even the way that the people of God are, getting very mobile right now from what I've seen. There's kind of this inclination even in the hearts of a lot of them that it's time to get up, to get moving, to get about what God is doing. That's happening a lot of places. It's just like there's an unsettledness, there's a restlessness among even God's people right now, because God's even preparing them to be transitory, to be migratory, to leave everything in one spot, go somewhere else, then go somewhere else. And so it's like there is that element. There's people that are holding down little forts and pockets as well, that you know, that are there too, holding down that fort in that area. And then there's others that will be traveling in between. And it's an amazing time for what it is that God's doing. But all that to say, you know, when we're given time with the true people of God, and really they're not as many as you might think, but they are there. But when you're given time with the true people of God, enjoy it, maximize it, and don't take it for granted, because you don't know when God will be moving them on, or when he might move you on. And when that happens, you may not see each other again for a really, really, really long time, if you ever do. So, you know, because also too, the relationships that we've been given by God, that's probably the most wonderful gift, you know, that you get in the natural while you're here in this world. You know, I mean, what He's blessed us with so many things, but that is, you know, your relationships that you get from Him, those are what we carry on with us into eternity. So it's pretty cool. But you know, maximize what you have when you have it, and then when the time comes, be ready to move, because it's a really cool time. Okay, so you know, tonight is going to be a really short night, because we are just starting back into things and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and so it's going to be more of a little bit of an introduction, I guess, than anything else. So let's go to Psalm 149 for those that have their Bibles. Okay. Psalm 149, verse 1. I will read it out loud, so if you skipped yours. Okay. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Okay. So, loose title for the new series is The Joy of the Saints. And, you know, in getting into this one, there's something that, okay, one of the biggest issues that people have in life and in this world is that people don't know who they are. They really don't. They don't know who they are. They don't know their own identity. And you notice that. I mean, think about it. When people go out and they buy brands because the brand creates an identity for itself. So this is what a Mercedes is. This is what a Chevy is. This is what Hugo Boss is. This is what. So here's a fashion brand over here. Here's a bank over here. So they create brands. And when they create brands, people buy those brands. Not the product is pretty much a parity product across the board. There's small quality differences to some degree. But what people do is they end up buying the brand because they want to identify with the identity of that the brand has created for itself. So it's like, Tag Heuer, what are you made of? It's like, I'm a real man. Well, so I wear a tag because now, you know, I'm made of something. I'm made of substance. And in fact, what they do is the world creates celebrities. When it creates a celebrity, it shapes the identity that they want that person to have so they can market. It's not even the real person. There's never the real person. If you ever meet the real celebrity, you realize, wow, this is totally a different person than what I thought they would be like, because what you thought they'd be like is a persona created around them by handlers and controllers of that person. But ultimately what they're doing is shaping a brand that they can sell that other people then want to identify with, because they're like, oh, okay, I like that identity. But people themselves, by and large, don't know who they are. They don't know their own identity. And so what they do is they kind of fumble through life being then that being something that consumes a huge part of, because they're lost. So in the process of being lost, a lot of things were lost, including who you really are. Now, one of the most beautiful things that happens for us when we come to Christ and when God, well, the Spirit of God draws you, and as He draws you, you respond, because He's not going to override your will. When you respond of your free will, and you're like, okay, Lord, I'm up for whatever it is that you're doing, and I'm willing to bow my knee before you. You are King, you are Master. God, save me, lead me and guide me into all truth. As you do that, what happens is now you get connected to, one, the source of all life, and two, the source of who you really are, your true identity, which is found in Christ Jesus. See, no one has their true identity apart from Him. Because you're separated from the source of what is life in the first place. So you can't ever truly have an identity apart from Him. But what He does is when you are now in connection with Him, now you have the chance to find out and to know who you really are in Him. So you get lost in Him, and as you get lost in Him, because He's uniquely and fearfully made you fearfully and wonderfully made, you are uniquely designed, as you in your uniqueness are lost in Him, He fills you and flows through you and consecrates every part of you, so that what comes out is the manifestation of Him through the filter of your own life. So it'll be the life of God, the light of God shining and flowing through you. And like, have you ever seen like a prism? You know, and it's like a little triangle of glass, and you can shine a white sunlight that comes at it, and when it hits that prism, it splits the light into all the different colors in the rainbow. So red, orange, indigo, blue, violet, and all the ones that are there. Green, there's in there. Yellow, yes. Okay. So all of that is contained in that white light. But as it comes through there, it splits it into different manifestations of the same light. So likewise with us, as the Spirit of God flows through us,
you represent
a different color, but it's all the same source. And so it flows through you in an amazing way, but you have to, one, be connected to the light for that to happen. Now, one thing that the world works very hard to do is to keep you from ever understanding and identifying your true identity. It doesn't want you to know who you really are. For example, think of it like this. If you were in a town, and there was a billionaire that was in the town, and you owned the bank that the billionaire put all of his money in, and the billionaire has a son, but the son doesn't know that the billionaire is his father, and the billionaire dies, and all that money's in the bank, and now the bank has, like, now it's like time for, you know, if there's any heirs, they have a rightful claim on what's in the bank. If you're the bank, do you want that guy to know who he is? If you had the option? Because what happens? Well, if he doesn't ever figure out who he really is, then that money stays in the bank and they'll just keep it and use it for whatever they want, and it goes on indefinitely in there. But if that son finds out who he is and actualizes the claim that he has, it changes the whole thing. So what the world is it's kind of like that banker. It's seeking to keep you from identifying, because when Christ Jesus died on the cross, and we became joint heirs in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection also that took place, and now you have become, when you're in Him, a son and a daughter of the living God. There are things that now are rightfully your benefits. You have benefits being a son. You have rights and privileges that are yours because of the blood of Christ, and because you are now in the realm of the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God, you are now His. You belong to Him. You're part of the family. If you're part of the family, you have a right that other people don't have. Like, I remember my grandfather in Sri Lanka. My grandfather was an amazing person within this country. He godfather of advertising, all of those kind of things that were part of who he was. But for me, being his grandson, I could go to his office on any given day, at any moment in time, walk past the security on the ground floor, park wherever I felt like, walk past the security, I could park in the chairman's spot, didn't matter, walk past the guys that are the restrainers, whatever, walk past his secretary at the front desk, go right into his office and give him a big hug and sit down and talk to him for the next half hour. I didn't have to get a pass. I didn't need to get an appointment. I had that access because this is my grandfather. I'm his grandson. I'm family. I'm also a rightful heir of everything that's part of him because this is my grandfather. And likewise, too, people that were in that place, in that building, understood that. There's a realization that, you know what, he may be 12, but he's an heir. You know, he's somebody that is part of this whole thing. Likewise, you and I are heirs in the kingdom of God. You and I can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come boldly before our Father, who is in heaven, and bring before Him whatever it is that's going on with you. There's nothing withheld from us. There's no resource that God has that's withheld from His children, from those that walk with Him, from those that follow Him. There is not. If you understand what's yours, you can then walk in it. See, that's why the Word of God is so important. Because God went to an extensive, massive effort to make sure that you and I had this words now. Because what it does is also, this word shows you what it is that you are rightful heir of and to. And the Spirit of God illuminates that to you. So you realize, whoa, wait a second. I, as a child of God, have certain things that are my covenant rights and benefits because of who I am in Him. And when you open this thing up and you realize, oh my gosh, this is mine. This is something that He promised me. This is something that He's given me. And like when He talked about the Holy Spirit, He just said, look, and He talked about even to Gentiles and then to these guys, not Gentiles, but even to the Jews that were there. He's like, look, you guys give, you know, if your son asks you for bread, you know, will you give him a serpent? No, it's like, you know, if he asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? It's like, so if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So He talks about like, if you ask for things that He has for you that are part of your benefits and rights as a child of God, He will give them to you. But so often what happens is God's people don't even ask Him for what's already yours, what's already been offered to you, what He already intends for you. So likewise, like when He says, you know, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So He came that we might have life. So, and He came that we might have abundant life. So I can, as a child of God, go before the Father and say, Lord, I realize that Your desire is that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. So, Lord, I come before You and I desire to receive the abundant life that You have for me, whatever that means. Because what I might think is an abundant life is not the same as what God would think is an abundant life. You know, I have seen that so strongly in this last few years, of how what the world thinks is an abundant life and what God thinks is an abundant life. And the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the eating. The life that God's allowed me to live over these last years compared to the life of all of the people that I know, all of them that are in the world, every single last one of them that I know, that I've met, there's not a one of them that doesn't, if I sit down and I talk with them about what God's done with me and just the life that He's allowed me to experience and to know, there's not a one of them that doesn't say, wow, I wish I something along those lines. Because what happens is that though the world gives people a semblance of security, though it gives them an idea of maybe some kind of comfort, they just choose to live in their cell, and they choose to live on a Ferris wheel that they've created for themselves. Not even a Ferris wheel. Have you ever seen those little gerbil wheels that they get the rat and the rat jumps inside and then like that thing that spins in a circle really fast, really fast? They're like running, but they're not going anywhere. They're staying in the exact same spot. Even some hamster wheel, yeah. Have you even seen, like, some guys will even like take the water thing and stick it down so that while he's running they can actually like take a drink while they're running there? You know, so because he's not going anywhere. But anyways, most of the guys I know that are in the world are just like those hamsters. But and I tell them too, I'm like, look brother, you can have to be like this. But it's a choice. Because God offers that to us. But see, here, in America, when there was the Emancipation Proclamation, for basically Abraham Lincoln after the war was over in America, and they said, okay, everybody that's a slave, now you are now free. You are now a free man. There were places in the South where they didn't let that message go through. And so there were places in the South where, though the people had been set free, in the nation, they didn't know that they were set free. So they let those, because they were using those people. Those people were slaves, they were doing free labor, and they were a valued asset as slaves to those slave owners. And those guys didn't want those guys to actualize what it was that had been mandated for them by the president of the country at that time. So they did what they could to block that information from getting to those people. And likewise, that's what, with us, with the gospel, you and I are people that carry the message of the Emancipation Proclamation from the world system, which is that that basically people are no longer slaves if you don't want to be. That the blood of Christ is sufficient to pay for your sins and my sins and the sins of the entire world, and to release us from the bondage to the world system, where if anyone would receive that gift of eternal life that comes in Christ Jesus, they now can be set free from all of that. And so the world works desperately hard to block that true gospel message from ever getting to the people. To block it. And then people too, sometimes because, you know, that they, sometimes what happens even with slaves is you can actually get to the point where you don't want to be. You know that there's a syndrome in the prisons and the correctional facilities, where when some guy has been in jail for so long that he doesn't know how to function in the outside world.
So he wants to remain in jail?
So he wants to remain in jail. In fact, when they get paroled and they get put out, they themselves will commit another crime just to get put back in jail, because they don't know how to function outside of that, because it scares them. You know, you can be, if you've been in a jail cell for 30 years, if you've been in a jailhouse for 30 years, and you know how your food works, and you know the people that you have to be around, you know when you go to the yard and you get your exercise, you know how all that stuff works, It's like then for people to now all of a sudden be thrown out into a world that has changed. Think how much the world has changed around us in the last 30 years. Yeah, there was no internet 30 years ago. There was none. Everybody's now, yeah, everybody's Googling and tweeting away and like, I mean, what life is now, if you were put in jail 30 years ago and you came out today, you're coming into a very traumatically different world. And somebody that comes into this thing and walking around, they may have never learned to type. And here's these 15-year-olds on their iPhones, you know, with their, I mean, just, it's like, what in the world is this? So people get institutionalized. People get brought to a place where it's like they don't want to be free because they know what it is to be a slave. They've gotten comfortable with what it is to be a slave. And now the process of actually being free is actually pretty scary to them because they don't know what that would be. Yet they don't realize that there is an abundant life waiting for them that they just have to cross into. Children of Israel dealt with this when they were in the desert and Moses was leading them and things weren't exactly comfortable and not working according to their expectations at the time. And then what did they do? They're like, well, while we were in Moses, or well, Moses, while we were in Egypt, we had, at least we had pots to sit around and we could eat these leeks and we had meat and all this kind of, and so it's like, we want to be slaves again. Because we understood that and we knew kind of what the next day would be. And we think that that reality is better than what we were in right now.
That was a comfort zone for them, so they just don't want to get out of it.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they're in the process of getting free. And then in the process of getting free, they now, because they have to go through something that's a little bit of trouble, something that's a stretch for them in the natural, now all of a sudden, no, I want to go back to being a slave. That happens with a lot of people that start following Christ. They start by following Him, and then when it gets uncomfortable, or then when the bills start to press in, or now they have kids, and or now they get with a partner that's that is pushing them a particular way, and then they let go of what it is that God called them into. And then they go back and they become a slave. And in the process of becoming a slave, they let go of everything that God intended for them. And they become part of that entire mass of people that have lived and died, and there was no reason, rhyme, purpose to even their existence here. And they go on into eternity like that. So life here is short. Life is very short, and in fact you're going to see a lot of lives cut short in the days ahead because of what the world is going into right now. There is a chance, if people repent and get right with God, where certain things can be staved off, but it seems like kind of where we're at, and just the sense is that we're coming into a very bumpy ride on this roller coaster, which is all right because God always takes care of His own. In fact, that's a big part of what it is that we need to understand, because when things get tough and when the world goes a certain line, that's also when God raises up His people. So back to Psalm 149, where he says, okay, let me just read this through again because it's short and recap. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Okay, an attitude that we keep, a place that we keep in spite of whatever's going on around us, is a place of praise, a place of worship. God inhabits the praises of His people. God intends that with whatever it is that's going on with you, that you allow the Spirit of God to work in and through you to bring you to a place where no matter what's going on, you can thank and praise Him because He knows where you are. He knows what's going on, and He's in control. If you're following Him, if you bowed your knee before Him, then wherever you are, He's in control of that situation. You will be in the middle of whatever it is that He wants you to be in. And if you can trust Him in that, and you know you have a good Father, that He'll take care of you, then you can also go forward in that in a certain attitude. You know, like if you have a dad that you trust, and that dad now sends you out to do something that's for your own good, even if he doesn't feel comfortable or you may not like it so much, you know that in the end, that what he's doing is because it's for your long-term good and benefit. So you can approach it a different way. Whereas, because you know you have a good father that's looking out for you, trying to do something for you that's going to make you a better person, a better man, a better daughter. Okay, so we adopt a particular attitude in what we go through. Let Israel sing, verse 2, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. In him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Okay, what kind of situation and what kind of circumstance would the world be in to see the context of those last even 3-4 verses there? It says, or verse 5, it says, let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds, let their high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. So, right, two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Double-edged. The Spirit and the Word and the Spirit, which is able to cut through all of it. It is truth, because His Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So it's the truth of God laced with His Spirit, empowered by His Spirit, that comes through in the Word and the living Word, which is Christ. And it's in your hand, and He wields that through you. So we're praising Him with our mouth, and we're executing that which He's got for us to do in the war that He has for us. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6. So let their, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. This honor have all his saints. Every last one of them has this power, has this ability, has this entitlement as a child of God, as a son of God. We've been given that entitlement as a son and daughter of God. So you have a 12-year-old who is a saint of God, opened up their eyes, seen, now walking with Him. They have the spiritual authority given by God to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And you see why the devil works so hard to keep a 12-year-old from realizing that, and to flood his head with G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, and to get him drugged, medicated, stick a needle in his arm, give him 5 vaccines that he doesn't need, mess up his brain, give him TV, soda pop, porno mags, you know, whatever it is, to get him to a point where he doesn't realize that he, as a child of God, has the God-given right and authority to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. You go back to Elijah and Ahab. Because scriptures talk about Elijah. It says, look, Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was like you. You're like Elijah. Potentially. And Elijah himself, the power and the manifestation of the power of God in and through his life was real, was profound. And he had the ability to literally, because of what God was doing through him, to shut down an entire nation, to keep rain from coming to the land, to outrun chariots and horses, to call down fire from heaven. This is a guy like you, a guy like me. And it's not, you see, the thing is, what happens to us so often, because people are so carnal in all of this, they get focused on the signs and they're like, oh, okay, I want to call down fire because then people will see that I'm a man of God. No, you missed it. You missed it right there. The key is that he was on track with the Father, and he knew who he was. He was in step with the King of Kings, and he knew who he was. And in knowing who he was in him, then he also knew what he could actualize as a servant of God. He knew what he had the right to. So we now are at a place where God desires that we would wake up, understand who you are in him, and then get on with it. But just right here, even, is just that, just right there alone, lets you know that in whatever context you are, anywhere in the world, that in whatever world rulers you're around, any one of them, that they, the authority that God has given you, supersedes anything that they might have that's given to them by the world and the world system. I didn't write the book. God gave me this. God gave you this, just so that you know what you know, what you have access to. So, okay. So, we'll spend some time, you know, over this next, however long it takes us to do this one, this series. But we're going to talk some about the paradigm of this life. We will talk some about the struggle of the saints and what it is that we go through on the side that we're in, and the joy of the overcomer in this world. Because God's call for us is to be overcomers, is to be people that are exactly what He designed and intended us to be. And there's more that we'll get into, but for now, because it's an early night, so we will stop there for this evening, and we will pick it up, Lord willing, next week.